the Mitzvah. Today, we will learn Sukkos for everybody in Klal Yisrael. Us also, we're included. As Hashem speaks to everybody, everybody should be safe and sound. Bad and sound. Safe and not sound. Fine, so here the Chavis Chaim says, humor. We're talking about Shabbos, we learn, try to be nice with everybody, get away from talking about Lashon Hara, let's be a Sukkos for us. Humor. Let's talk about humor today. Humor. The crucial point. The crucial point, everybody's heated up today. See, everybody's riled up. The crucial point of humor is that it's enjoyment that depends on which side of the joke you're on. You know? Depends which side. If you're the guy making the joke, the guy the joke is on. That's right. Think back the last time a group of people laughed at you for some reason. I don't know, it was a long time. It's like every day. Fine. They may have laughed at you because you did something foolish, or because your boss jokingly said, if you don't get that reported by tomorrow, I guess you're going to be taking a long vacation. Right? Initially, you may have laughed along so not to seem like a bad sport. Somehow, when you're on the receiving end, the remark is not so amusing. And sometimes you may get the feeling that the joke contains at least a kernel of truth. And this point the Chafetz Chaim addresses. The person who, after speaking Lashon Hara, says, I'm only joking.
I'm just kidding.
Just kidding. It's not, the Chafetz Chaim says, not a joke. It's not a joke. The person's feelings are hurt. His esteem has been lowered. Words have the power even when they are presented as a joke. Therefore, a joke is derogatory, it's forbidden. If a joke is derogatory, it's forbidden. If it's not nice, it's saying something not nice about somebody, it's forbidden.
And I was told that Barish gives a joke Wednesday night. Before he gives a joke, he has to pass it to about 10, 15 people and make sure it's kosher.
If you pass it to people, usually one person. Okay, it's supposed to be usually one person, two people.
Okay, so you told that he makes sure that it's kosher before he does it.
I mean, you're not going to insult anybody. In that law, also the joke they put in that law every week, they check it through. You know, they send it, they have to check.
If it's a bad joke,
don't take it. It's not good. Not only a bad joke, Rabbi's not going to say a bad joke. Even if it could hurt some type of, let's say, making some person fun of some type of person. Can hurt anybody's feelings, it's not a good joke. Understand? But even the one, you know, they put in that law every week, they put a joke. Now, every week they put a joke, you know, in the newsletter, the one in Hebrew. So every week they put like a joke in and they send it through. And then our valve where they check it before they put the joke and make sure it's not going to hurt anybody's feelings. So that every week they check it. So be careful when you're making jokes.
Only one person checks. The only problem is that they only could have the joke in.
Yeah. Yeah,
they always
put the line. What is
it
called?
That line.
Punchline. The punchline.
Always left out.
Maybe because that's to figure it out.
That's the joke. But I thought we were supposed to make fun of the Avodah Zarah.
Sure, Avodah Zarah you're allowed. Fine, sometimes it makes, it's right. You know, that's what the joke staff says about Avodah Zarah. But it's regular things you should not make sure. Once again, Chavetz Chaim focuses on the effect of our words. If one recounts a story that does not mention names, but through other details, then listener may come to identify the subject, it's considered Lashon Hara. Even if the story contains no negative information, so it will eventually cause the subject to appear in a bad light. It's still forbidden. Because delayed reaction destruction is also destruction, right? Even if a missile hits it, it doesn't explode right away. It explodes. Delayed reaction destruction is also destruction, right? So even if a person saying Lashon Hara today, not that this guy is 14 years old. So you say Lashon Hara about this guy. He's not in Shidduchim today. But it's going to make an effect, right? Let's say a guy says, you talk about some guy, say, oh, this kid was abnormal school for a month. Right? So he's 14 years old. I think we're not like, no one's like, nothing's going to happen. But then, in another 6 years from now, he's going to want to get married, and people say, oh, we remember when he was once, you know, missing for a month. We don't know, he's sent out of school, he's sick, he's this, he's that. So the later reaction of Lashon Hara is also considered Lashon Hara. Very careful with our words. Well, they could all, even if right now it won't damage a person, they have to be careful if in a different time it's going to hurt the person. So it's amazing. Every time you learn more about Lashon Hara, you like opens our mind more and more, like opens us up more and more to understand how our words can make effect. Now we're saying humor, and then the lady reactions. Oh, Lashon Hara, be very careful.
Actually, that's very true, because I heard a story where someone was telling a story about a babysitter and two kids, not realizing that the person he was telling to was the babysitter 20 years later.
Ooh.
And she said, and guess who the babysitter was?
As we study all the Hilchos Lashon Hara in great detail, we see again and again Hashem has great displeasure when His children are portrayed in a negative light. Through these laws, Hashem is telling us, all of you are my children. Please treat each other with respect and sensitivity. Now, they said in there, don't remove from the building of the room. I'm not sure what it says. Open the front cover.
Fine.
And I just want this children. I have the first section.
Where are we holding?
We're holding now on that. We'll be holding now on that 9B2. That's a master 9B2. That's what we're 9B2. And just have it say, I came across this thing. Maybe this Tiknakali has Tiknakali in English. Has it English translated. And on the bottom it has it transliterated. Like, you could say the words. It's very important to say Tiknakali in the Hebrew words. Say every word. So whoever wants to spend a lot of time, especially if they go to Uvad, it has on the bottom transliterated. It says Lam Natseya in English. Whoever wants to on the bottom. And also, what's so new about this Tiknakali? That it has the long tefillah from Reb Nosson in English. Translates. Very nice. So, this one belongs to the room. It says that don't remove from this room. Please.
Could you get it downstairs?
Well, I don't know downstairs, but Aaron said the bookstore. The
what's the print like?
It's called like this. The rest of the bookstore is a very good thing to have. The mold tefillah. No, not next to the shul. I don't know if they have. They don't have all the English books. What? They have these? You sure?
Sure.
You should. Or this place, the yeshiva's. I don't know, the yeshiva has a lot of them. But they're all good places. The yeshiva has to have a lot of English stuff. They're like, they're well stocked in English. No, the yeshiva in the next building. The Breslau Israel. The building, the Talmud Torah, the school where the kids learn. Over there you go, up the steps. I don't know how much it is, but it's a very nice thing to have. It has the tefillah in English, very important tefillah. A lot of people, they say a little bit of tefillah. They don't say it's too long, it's like 20 pages long, but yeah, in English, it's much easier to say the tefillah. It's a very, very important tefillah to say. I wanted to mention, I came across, I don't know how long it's out for, I just saw it now, never saw it. But it's a good thing to have, to say the long tefillah. You can't say it in one shot, say a little bit. It's a very powerful tefillah. They say that the Tikkun HaKol is the meal, and the Rebbe's tefillah is the dessert. And together, that's the Breslau say. Together, it's a very, very nice. It's very, very nice. We're Klein Kramer. Did another not very nice job.
That's from Real Klein?
Yeah. I never saw it. I don't know. It's an
album. You can also order it from the Breslau Research Institute.
Yeah, Breslau Research, probably on the internet. Whatever.
I never
saw this place. It's very nice. It's beautiful. But I'm saying it's a very, very good thing to have. It's a very good thing to say when we can. Yeah. I just wanted to mention it. I saw it.
If anybody would like this,
beautiful.
Okay, I can get a discount from Klein Kramer.
Yeah, that's good. But it's a very nice book to have. It's a tefillah. It's a very, very important tefillah. It's a very hard tefillah. It's very nice. Very happy to see it in English. Very nice English from Klein Kramer. His mamish. Before the church, I wanted to mention. Whoever wants a good thing to have in the pocket. Good? There's not a paid advertisement.
Which bit?
Well, on page Tessa with a base, we're going to start from the Mishnah again, so we'll just get back into Rabbi Yehuda. Let's go.
It's just Tikkun, it's called Tikkun HaKol.
It's called Tikkun HaKol in English. It's called Tikkun HaKol in English. You'll see it looks
Hebrew
like that. It's brown.
English.
Hebrew, English, and translated and transliterated on the bottom.
Okay, so I'll put a link on tonight.
It's a very, very nice thing with the English. It's from Breslau Research.
It's a friend's website. Cozy.
It's the Breslau Research Institute.
That's fun.
You could also find the Breslau Research Institute. They just made it.
Yeah, I put a link on
Garden Luna. Fine. Let's go. Let's start learning now. Come on. Let's see the Mishnah again. Yep. Tesla Base 9B. Hasuma in a Gala. A blind man who kills by mistake does not go to galus. That's a lot of no galus.
So you just need one of these and an RPG, M16 or whatever, and have fun.
That's Rabbi Yehuda's. That's Rabbi Yehuda says, you do not go to galus. Rameh says, no, what are you talking about? Gaila, just because you're blind doesn't make you putter. If you kill someone by mistake, go to galus. You have to go to galus. I'm sorry. You gotta go to galus until the kain gadol dies. You gotta get a kapara. Also, this is a good tshuva for you. Now, so that was the first halacha of the Mishnah. Now, let's skip to the Gemara. That's our Gemara today. Is going back on those, that first argument in the Mishnah. Let's see the Gemara. Rebuvah, you ready for the Gemara? So what they say? The first halacha of the Mishnah said is suma does not go to galus. Of course, Rabbi Huda, Rameh said you yes go to galus. Pretty clear cut, right, Rebara? Good. Let's see the Gemara. Now, what's the source? What's your source? You're right, saying very quickly. Good. Something we got back. So we're saying now. What's the argument? What's the basis for the argument? Tanu Rabban. Kolayver Eis. It says the pasuk says, "You killed somebody without seeing." Prat. Who we kind of exclude? The summa. We're excluding a blind man, the Rabbi Yehuda. That is where the Rabbi Yehuda. Now, how in the world can you see from there anything? So you can see Rashi. Rashi helps us. Let's see the first Rashi on the Gemara, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the top, which is really going to be the second narrow line. First Rashi in the Gemara. You have below Rise. What does Rashi say? The pasuk says that if someone kills another person without seeing, by mistake, then they go to Gala. Prat, we're excluding with Suma, we're excluding a Suma. A blind man, Dimashma. Because what does the pasuk seem to mean? Khan, over here, Loira. In this scenario, today he couldn't see. Abel Roy, but he can't see. But Malcolm Acher, usually in another scenario, another place, he could see. That's what it seems to be telling us, that usually he can't see. Today he can't see, usually he can't see. Prat is excluding with Suma, a blind man. And a Rabbi Shomakam, who doesn't see anyways. So again, what's the drasha? The pasuk says the following. What does the pasuk say? If a person killed with a stone without seeing, and the stone fell on another person and killed him, then you go to galus. That's the pasuk says. Right? If a person killed a person without seeing, you didn't see the person, it was by mistake, and then you go to galus. What does it mean? It sounds like if you usually could see, just today you couldn't see, then you go to galus. But let's say you're never able to see. No galus. That's our understanding for the pasuk, right? What the pasuk thought? If in this situation you couldn't see and you killed the guy, then you go to galus. Let's say you can never see. No galus for you.
It's very simple. I was walking down a mall and I bumped into someone, a little old lady. She fell down, broke her hip.
And she fell down the escalator? What happened to her?
No, it was just, I was walking in a crowd using my cane. I bumped into someone, a little old lady. She fell down, broke her hip.
So now, let's say some person is blind. They're walking down and they hit the lady and she dies. Now what's the halacha? They have to go to galus or not?
No way.
What?
No.
Pen, according to Yehuda, no galus. So
question. Does it mean, if you say the person doesn't see, does it mean the person's blind or doesn't see?
No, so we're saying, according to Yehuda, he's saying,
so
in this case,
glasses on his eye because it may be impaired, and he asks that's also the same ma'aser or not?
That would be that you can't see today.
Okay, but is the halacha the same way?
It sounds like you would go to galus.
You would or would not?
Well, yes, because you could usually see. The Baal is saying, in this scenario, you couldn't see. It means usually you can't see. You're a perfectly healthy guy. And today, for whatever reason, you were spacing out. I don't know what happened. You were busy thinking.
Let's say you went to the doctor. You did something to your eyes. You had patches on your eyes. Okay?
According to the Baal, it has to be, and a person, it sounds like, the
Kabur.
Person is blind. Kabur. He's always blind. What do you say, Ruben?
Can I go out and because he's dead.
Yeah, okay. So Ruben's saying it's time a blind person shouldn't go out alone. You definitely shouldn't be shooting guns if you're blind. But
oh, that's another story. But we'll get into that. No.
guy gun, you started shooting people when you're one.
Was danger for him or danger for
him? No, you belong to him. A lot of people say, you can't tell a blind person to stay in his house all day.
No, but...
He's a guide.
He's a guide.
He guides him.
No, you literally need training with this.
I saw something on the internet recently that they have versus glasses that have a little schmutz on it, which tells you that's red because it speaks to you. It sees them. That's how it works against it.
I don't think they had it yet.
No, I'm saying the mamish about the things they have coming up with it.
It's good. Fine. Yes.
You know about it?
Oh, I know about all the technology. I've tried all the technology.
They don't work.
Too much of a pain. Now, well, for example, 2 weeks ago, my wife had cataract surgery. So I was guiding her around, or either my daughters were guiding her around, because she had to have a plastic patch over her eye to recover from the cataract surgery.
Right.
And now she's in the house and resting comfortably and, you know, be able to get around. But, you know, she now knows what I have to go through.
Let's
see, what does the pasuk say?
It says, all the for heaven are share Yahud, Adam should met before heaven, and below the oath without looking.
That's it. It means he wasn't looking? The drush of a shore is going on the killer. I don't know what the pasuk. I thought it meant is referring to.
Let's say I throw a rock. Someone throws a rock. So the person is hit, but he had his eyes closed. He wasn't looking.
And I thought the shot of the pasuk was the other way.
He could have moved out of the way, but he didn't because he wasn't looking. I crossed the street. Somebody with my eyes closed, and somebody hit me. A car ran into me.
Right.
Am I at fault, or is the guy who hit me at fault?
Right. I sound like for the Gemara. The Gemara is for sure. The drush where we're going on the person, the killer.
Right. But how where's the killer?
What if you're driving down the street?
If you read the whole part, it's also going to kill him.
By Yafela. What does it mean by Yafela? The rock hit him. No?
Well, what if you're driving down the street and the Arabs start throwing rocks at you on the side? You're not seeing it, but you're seeing straight ahead, and they're pummeling you with rocks.
You say Shema Yisrael, and you continue. What are you going to do?
I think if you look at the translations, I'll tell you it's going back. Oh, some of the parts is going back on the person who's the killer. Because some of the parts is also below. Oh yeah, if you didn't hit it, hate him. I thought it's going back on the killer. Just to look up a.
Only you should know, if you get 60 Arabs throwing rocks at you, don't sit there and look where it's coming from. Get out of there. That's what they tell you.
In our area,
get out of there fast.
A baby was seriously injured.
Okay, just get out of there. That's all. That's what the army tells you to do, and that's what I'm telling you what the smartest thing to do. Get out.
I see what you're saying. It sounds like the puzzle. If you look at maybe one of these translations, for sure the Gemara's drasha, it's going on the killer. Fine, we'll have to look into it more and then what this puzzle is. Check it up later. Maybe it's not chumash. I need chumash. Fine, and let's try to go further. Fine. Let's see the Gemara. Tana Rabba Lai is proud. Let's do the Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see the Gemara. Rabbi says no. Lara Ois, what is it says of Lara Ois, what's it going to teach me? Larabba says Asuma, to include a blind man. If the killer killed and he couldn't see, then you go to Gavos, which means even if you can't see permanently, you go to Gavos. He's saying, no, you don't know how to read the pasuk. If the killer went and he couldn't see, what does it mean he couldn't see? Even if he can't see permanently, even if he's blind, still you go to Ari Miklat, that's your mayor's pshat. Correct the Gemara. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's that Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, why is Rabbi Yehuda arguing on Ramein?
No.
It seems like the Silm Chan the Pasuk says, Reuben killed somebody with, let's say, Reuben killed someone with atzi. So say the Pshat is, he means he can never see. He's a blind man. He still goes to Galus. Why did he decide to say the Pasuk is referring to a case of that you can't see some just now you can't. Today you can't see. How do Rabbi Yehuda explain the Pasuk? You kill someone by mistake and today you can't see. What, maybe he should learn like Remeir. How did Remeir learn? What did Remeir say? Well, lower os means you can never see. How did Remeir learn? Remeir says, what does the Pasuk mean? Right, it says, below your eyes, right? What does this say? It says, if you kill somebody and you can't see, which means even permanently. According to Remeir, even if you can't see permanently, you're a blind man, you still go to Gauss. That's what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk says, below your eyes, you can't see. Means, even if you can't see permanently, that's where Remeir understood the Gemara. Chon?
What does Rashi say?
Rashi says, We saw Rashi on the Yehuda. There was no Rashi on Remeir.
Okay.
But Remeir said, Valora was teaching, they were including a blind man. They even a blind man. He, yes, would go to Galus. What does the Pasuk say? Reuben killed Shimon without seeing. Then you go to Galus. So you want to say, it's even the Rabbi, the Remeir said, the Rabbi Sassuma. So then where it says, my time after Rabbi Yehuda. Why did Rabbi Yehuda say a blind man does not go to Galus? Why not? Hello. Why is a blind man not go to Galus? If so, the Pasuk says, Ba'asher yava esre'ehu fayar. One Pasuk says like this. When your friend is going to the forest, and he's going to do while he needs to relax for a few minutes, he starts shooting his bow and arrow. Next, just relax. And you kill someone b'shagig, then you go to Galus. If I tell you that statement, are we including the blind man? So if you were going in the forest and you kill someone by mistake, you go to Galus.
Everybody,
even the blind man. I didn't know we had to exclude it. So now, why do I need a second pasuk to tell me below your eyes? The second pasuk to teach me. That, again, to teach me that a blind man also goes to Galus. Kind of like this. I have one pasuk that tells me everybody goes to Galus. You walk in the forest, kill some show, you go to Galus. Another pasuk tells me, even if you can't see, you go to Galus. So now, I have two pasuk that tell me the same thing. Was a blind man included in the original pasuk? Yeah, it was the original pasuk. Rabbi Nachum, a guy walking in the forest kills someone, show you goes to Galus. Is the blind man included in that pasuk? Yeah, we didn't exclude him, yeah. So why do you need a second pasuk to reiterate again? By the way, a blind man also goes to Galus. Why should I think otherwise? Of course he goes to Galus. So it must be, we're giving you a positive and a positive. A positive and a positive equal a negative. Which means he was already included in the first pasuk, right? First of all, everybody who kills their friend, they're in the forest chopping wood, they go to God. A blind man is included? Yes. I have another positive that tells you, even if someone who can't see goes to God. But even below your eyes, you go to God. So why don't you two chukkas tell me the same exact thing? So we have a rule. If you have two times positive, is a negative. So if you tell me too many times you got to go to God, it means he doesn't have to go to God. So that's where you then know a blind man does not go to God. So two positive equal a negative. Again, I have two pasuk and tell me a blind man goes to Galus. Fun? I have the original pasuk says everybody goes to Galus. And the second pasuk would tell me a blind man goes to Galus. I have two pasuk and tell me the same thing. I don't need two pasuk to tell me the same thing. So if you have two pasuk and tell me the same thing, two positive means a negative. It means a blind man does not go to Galus. That's the pshat of Rabbi Yehuda according to the Ramban. Good. That shot you the point to remember. Fine. So again, let's see the Gemara. My time is the third line. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda that says the blind man does not go to Galus? The sixth pasuk says, "Va'asher yavetzu evaya." Your friend comes into the forest. Which from there we understand, afilu suma, even a blind man, has to go to Ari Miklah. So Asa B'Lever Ois comes the next pasuk, a second pasuk, and says that someone who can't see goes to Galus. And Ma'ate, so therefore, we are make a miut, which means we take away to say a blind man does not go to Galus. Because if he was included once and included twice, it means two positives equal a negative. That's why Rehuda said a blind man will, yes, go to Galus. Remeir says, no, you don't understand how to learn. When it says that a person can't see, so that alone, teaches me that a blind man does not go to Galus. So he's saying like this, when the pasuk says you can't see, what does it mean? Galus means that you cannot see. Only if you can't see sometimes you go to Galus. You can always see that you don't go to Galus. Prat lit, so below your eyes, lamai. The pasuk below your eyes is a meal. The vli das, the next pasuk also said you did it without knowledge. Again, have a meal is another meal to tell me you only go to Ari Miklat if you did it without knowledge. Now, what comes out of here? Have a meal to achar meal. It's like a negative after a negative. The eight meal to achar meal el al rabbi. And one negative after another, the negative coming to include something. That's what he says. So kind of like this. What's your mayor saying? The Torah told me, by the way, you only get Ari Miklat, you only go to Galus if you did not see. That's first. Second of all, you only got Ari Miklat, it was done without knowledge, unintentional. So we'll give you two criteria. Now we have a rule. Every time there's a negative after a negative, that equals a positive. So therefore, he says a blind man would yes go to Galus. So kind of like this. Rehuda says, how do I know a blind man goes to Galus? Because I have a positive and a positive. So a positive equal a negative. So the man says the opposite. I have a negative and a negative, therefore it equals a positive. That's in the Pesukim, that's what they're doing. They're arguing how to understand the Pesukim. That's what's going on here. You hear? According to Yehuda, he says, I have two psukim that tell me a blind man goes to Ari Miklat. So I have a positive and a positive. So you have two, a positive and a positive equal a negative. That teaches me a blind man does not go to Ari Miklat. Ramey says, no. Sorry. I'm looking at it differently. I see here, I have one negative that tells me only if you can't see, you don't go to Galus. And right afterwards it says another negative, which right after it says you have to make sure to kill the person unintentionally. And the rule is a negative and a negative equal a positive. So therefore a blind man would go to Ari Miklat. That's what Remeir wants to say. So now what did Rabbi Yehuda do with the word Bevlidat, Rabbi Yehuda? He says when it says the word Bevlidat, Prat Lemiskaven Uda Asa. It's coming to exclude someone who killed intentionally. It's not going to exclude a blind man. It's going to exclude someone who killed intentionally. Meaning like this. Remains like this. I have two psukim telling me a blind man does not. Amazing. So he says like this. I have two psukim telling me that a blind man does not go to Galus. Why? One pasuk says that in this scenario you didn't see, which means in general you could see. So I have one pasuk telling me only someone who doesn't see in general, he goes to Galus. Sorry. Someone who didn't see today, he goes to Galus. Let's say you can't see in general. Sorry. He said like this. Someone who did not see today, today he wasn't looking, he goes to Galus. Let's say someone who could never see. No Galus. Fine. A blind man against no Galus. Pasuk number one. Pasuk number two. It says, Bevlidat. It says that you have to do it unintentionally. A blind man did it unintentionally. right? He didn't know where the guy is. Considered unintentionally. Didn't know where exactly the guy is to shoot. So, with a negative, with two reasons, two psukim, knocking out a blind man. Telling you, well, was that without knowledge? And you are a guy who generally can't see, right? We said only someone who can't see today. If you can't, that's who goes to Golas. If you can never see, there's no Golas. That's one way, reason, knocking out the guy from a blind. Also, the positive, you did it unintentionally, right? The blind man was done unintentionally. You're forced to be no Golas. So I have two things knocking out a blind man from Golas. So I have a negative and a negative. When the Torah says a negative and a negative, it really means a positive, which means you do go to a blind man would go to Golas. As it comes out, that's what Meir said. That's what Meir says. So what do I really do? If you say it's not a problem, when the public says believe that, it's not going on a blind. When the public says that you only go to Golas, it was done unintentionally. We're not trying to exclude a blind man. We're trying to go in general. We're trying to exclude a person who did it on purpose. Meaning, Rav Meir is explaining that both of these psukim are going on a blind man. That even when we say he did it unintentionally, he's referring to a blind man. Kanzwar says no, not necessarily going on a blind man. Let's do the next one. What do we say in the Mishnah? Rav Yossi said, someone who's a hater, they get killed. Nachon? If Reuben hated Shimon, and Reuben claims I killed him by mistake, we don't listen. Reuben, you're getting killed. We don't believe you. We think you're doing it on purpose. No, not really. Let's say you do it such a story. That's the first problem. Well, Maisa, what a person hated the other guy. It means Ramah holds, it just means you upset at him. You didn't still talk for 3 days. You talked to him for 3 days, right? Mm-hmm. That was Salah. We didn't talk to the guy for 3 days, right? The other guy, you didn't talk to him in 3 days, and he's considering you kill him, and you claim it's by mistake. What would be? Say, we don't believe you. You get killed. Have a nice day. But if one guy hits another guy, he kills him. Says, oh, it's by mistake. That's too bad. We don't believe you. We're going to kill you, Mr. Killer. That's all. Mm-hmm. What's in where's Kasha? But how could it be? Let's see the where's question. Where says, he never got warned. We know he could only get killed if he got warned. This guy never got warned. How did he get a warning? Never got warned. Just went. He killed. He's claiming it's by mistake. He went and killed his friend, his enemy, and that's all. Either way, it's Bahalai Asrabe. He never got warned. So how can we say you get killed, right? We said a hater who kills another person, even though he says by mistake, we kill him. And the Gemara asks, "Bahala Asher Bema, he never got warned." The Gemara answers, "Nasita Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Huda." Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Huda. We use the word "the Rabbi Yesi." No, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Huda. The Tani will enter the bright star. Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Huda. I have a word that says, "What do you mean to say?" Chaver, a Talmud Chacham, a learned person who's going to kill somebody, in a Tzarech Asherah, does not need to be warned. The whole point of the warning is so we can understand afterwards if this killing was intentional or unintentional. If Reuben goes and kills Shimon, right? We didn't warn him. He could always say it was by mistake. Nachon? No, he says by mistake. But if you're ready for a warning, all of a sudden after you kill the guy, you can't tell us it's by mistake anymore. We warned you and you, right? You should have been more careful. So it must be it's on purpose. Uh-huh. So, what's the point of a warning? The Gemara is saying you have to understand if the killer's actions are on purpose or by mistake. Uh-huh. If someone was never, let me ask a question. If someone was never warned that they shouldn't drive recklessly, right? They drove recklessly to kill somebody. They didn't know, never told me driving recklessly could cause someone to get killed. Right? So, over there, it could be, the guy will say, I killed by accident, I didn't know this and that, I didn't know you can't go so fast, I didn't understand, whatever. Fine? But let's say, right before the guy gets in the car, police pull him over, you see the speeding, so I'm warning you, you're doing this danger, you're driving recklessly. Right? And then he continues to drive. So now he says it's on purpose. The warning explains to us that the etching was on purpose. That's what comes out. So in our case, when the guy hated the guy, do we need to understand it was on purpose by mistake? We don't need it. We're assuming it's on purpose. So if you don't have a warning, you're still going to get killed. Mr. Tomorrow, they're going to get killed.
Is there a shiur today?
I have no idea.
That's also good.
Yeah.
Whatever you have.